It is people of faith who open up the world to God's power. Today's scripture readings bring us at last to the threshold of Jesus' birth. The first reading from the prophet Micah is famous for designating Bethlehem as the birthplace of the Messiah. Bethlehem was insignificant by human standards, but very important for God. God had found someone of faith there before when he sent the prophet Samuel to Bethlehem to anoint David as king of Israel. Micah looks forward to the day when another faithful monarch will come from that same place. From the beginning, Christians have found this reading rich with pointers to what they believe, to what we believe God has done in Christ, salvation coming from what is least in human terms, the sense of a ruler to be born out of her, who, in contrast to most rulers of the time, was to be a shepherd who would feed his flock. Finally, there's the pledge that his rule will be synonymous with peace, something that the angels will echo when they announce the birth of the Savior to the shepherds in their fields. The second reading from Hebrews stresses the superiority and effectiveness of what Christ has achieved in comparison with the sacrificial rituals of the Old Covenant. To bring this out, the writer appeals to Psalm 40, which makes the point that what God wants from worshippers is not so much material sacrifices, animal holocausts and the like, but rather an inward commitment to do God's will. It talks about, quote, a body you have prepared for me, unquote. This makes the psalm applicable to Christ because it perfectly describes the obedience with which Jesus offered up his body to death on Calvary. In this Advent season, we're also invited to hear in that phrase, a body you have prepared for me, a reference to the incarnation about to become palpable in the birth of the Lord. The human life of Jesus, from its very first moment to its end on Calvary, will be a continual act of bodily obedience offered for the salvation of the world. Our gospel from Luke presumes our knowledge of the Annunciation to Mary and describes the subsequent meeting between Mary and Elizabeth. We're back dealing with the seemingly insignificant. Like Bethlehem, the unnamed town of Judah in the hill country is nowhere special, and the old woman Elizabeth and the pregnant teenager Mary are not people of any great rank or stature. And yet to God, they are crucial to the plan of salvation. The two women meet to share their remarkable experiences. As their stories come together, their faith overflows into new insight, knowledge, and celebration. Mary has surrendered in faith and obedience to the extraordinary role that Gabriel has announced to her. In faith, too, she has obeyed the angel's command to go and seek out the sign to be seen in the pregnancy of her much older cousin, Elizabeth. Faith doesn't presume signs already given. Faith goes on its journey and then discovers signs that confirm what has been believed. This is how Elizabeth's pregnancy functions for Mary. The lesser wonder brought about by God's power, the conception of a child to parents of advanced age, confirms her faith in the greater marvel that with God's Spirit replacing the role of the male parent, she is to become the mother of the Messiah. The account makes much of Mary's greeting, which most probably would have been Shalom, peace. Mary carries the peace that is to characterize the Messianic age. As soon as she utters her greeting, Elizabeth experiences the infant John within her leaping in her womb with joy. John the Baptist is already exercising his role of pointing to the presence of the Messiah. Elizabeth confirms what Mary has until now simply believed, that she is indeed pregnant with the Messiah whose role and destiny Gabriel had announced. She now has the sign that she was sent to find. Note Elizabeth's insistence that Mary is blessed not simply because she is the mother of my Lord, but because of her faith. Blessed are you who believed that what was spoken to you by the Lord would be fulfilled. Mary's faith was the essential channel through which salvation would flow into the world. As I said at the beginning, it is people of faith who open the world to God's power. Mary's faith did that. The faith of each one of us does it too. I invite the catechumens to come forward for dismissal. My brothers, we have the great gift of meeting the Lord in his scriptures when they are proclaimed in the church. He comes to us in word to strengthen us in our faith. We look forward to the day when you will join us at the table of the Eucharist, where too we meet the Lord. Until that day, go in peace.
Go in peace, the peace of Christ.
I invite you to join with me in the Nicene Creed, which you will find on the inside cover of your blue hymnal. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all the things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven. By the power of the Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again in accordance to day, in accordance with the Scripture. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead.